Well, there's so much in the world that's happening. The economy, there's snowfall on the East Coast, there's snowfall on the West Coast. There's floodings in other parts of the world. There's famines, there's difficulties. Yahweh can see us through all of them. One of the difficulties we have is even among ourselves at times. And we have to draw upon a power higher than ours to be able to overcome. To overcome ourselves, to be able to walk away from those tendencies that we've had in the past. Those tendencies not only to have in having a wrong attitude, but in breaking Yahweh's law outright. And so we need to search the scriptures to see what they say. We need to draw upon Yahweh's strength to help us to overcome. Because without it, we're not able to do anything of any worth. And we want things to go well. We want to have worth. We want to have eternal life. And to achieve that, we have to have Yahweh's Spirit dwelling within us. Now, Yahweh doesn't really change, but there has been a change in the law. We know that this had to take place with Yahshua's sacrifice. And we know that there are a number of things said about that, and there are some highlights in the New Testament. Those highlights are something that I've marked down and circled to put emphasis on them, because they really stand out. It's something that Paul emphasized. It's something that Peter emphasized. It's something that is emphasized throughout the New Testament, this new covenant that we're under. And we know that we're given a new a spirit in this covenant, that it was prophesied in Jeremiah 31, in Ezekiel 36, 26, 27 there. And that the Spirit is to help us overcome. It's not like how Yahweh dealt with the Israelites, in the sense that, well, He did give them His Spirit through His Word. He told them to get it on their mind and to change their hearts. And in fact, we can go to Ezekiel chapter 18 to find out just what Yahweh has said in the past. It's basically what He's saying today. There really is no change other than a couple adjustments in things. We have a high priest today under the Melchizedek order. In Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 29, the house of Israel says, "The way of Yahweh is not right." What way is that? Isn't that His instructions, His way of life, the way of life that we're told to live? He says to them, "Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, according to this, each according to his conduct, declares Yahweh Elohim. Repent and turn away from your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you." And as you recall, this is what we find in the New Testament. John the Baptist started out saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is coming." Yahshua started his ministry out, starting out saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He told the disciples the same thing, and the disciples were to go out telling the message of repentance. That there is a need for that, a turning away from evil, a turning away from sin, and a turning away of our old lifestyles and turning to Yahweh and having a new lifestyle. In verse 32 of Ezekiel 18 it says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies." Verse 31. "Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" And we know that sin causes death. Yahshua came as a justification for us to put away the death penalty that was hanging over us. He didn't come to do away with the law. We know this. And yet many preachers are out there saying just that. That Yahshua came to do away with sin. Well, there are some scriptures that actually say, he's taken away sin, but in the light of all of scripture, it's really saying he's taken away the death penalty from over us. We're not to go on sinning. Paul says that again and again. He must have understood. He was kind of hard to understand, but he clarified himself by saying, shall we sin so we can abound in grace? Yahweh forbid. Verse 32 of Ezekiel 18 says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Yahweh Elohim. Therefore, repent and live. And this is the message we find in the New Testament. Repent and live. I like Ezekiel 18. You know, in the past, I've actually said, you know, just close up your, well, not close up your Bible, but just listen to the words that are found here. And I would like you to do the same in some of the verses that we're going to look at today in the New Testament, some of these highlights of the New Testament, I like to call them. But we can find in 1 Timothy, you know, the Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy. These are part of the pastoral epistles, giving instruction for the assembly. We find in 1 Timothy 3, starting there, as I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. And I think we find this today, strange doctrines, things that we don't find are accurate according to Yahweh's word. I've been dealing with a subject matter, and there's an individual that has written a paper, and it's been he's been working on this, I guess, for many years. He's just one individual, but he's turning people away from proper worship. He keeps pointing to Babylon. He uses Babylon as evidence, some of the historical, archaeological finds there for the dating that he's saying is correct, and refers to Egypt to show that, well, I might as well say what I'm talking about here. It's the vernal equinox. And he's pointing to Egypt and Babylon as proof that we should be doing this too. Well, wasn't Egypt and Babylon a problem for Israel? And we know there's syncretism. So there was some problems, especially with Judah after they came out from Babylonian captivity. But we find that, you know, those that keep the vernal equinox going with that dating, if Yahweh causes a bib to show a month later, they're in error, those keeping the vernal equinox. They would be in error because you have to have the wave sheaf of the early barley or the early ears of grain within the days of unleavened bread. You count Passover from the new moon after a bib, after the new early growth is available. And we'll have to get into this a little bit more later. But what I want to get into right now is showing that Yahweh's law is in effect, and that we need to make sure that we have sound doctrine, and the evidence is clear. Verse 3, it says, I urge you, instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths, endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of Yahweh, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. What does that mean? It means if you obey the law, then that's the right thing to do. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. In other words, if you obey it, then it's good. Yes. Realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those that are lawless and rebellious. Now, wait a minute. It's not made for a righteous person? Well, if a person is righteous, they will be obeying the law. And I think that's the point. Realizing that the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those that are lawless and rebellious, is to get them back in line so that they themselves can be righteous. Because that is righteousness. Yahweh's law is righteous, as the psalmist says. for the unrighteous and sinners, for the unholy and the profane, and for those who kill their fathers or mothers, or for murderers, for immoral men and homosexuals. What? I thought I heard a bishop say that that was not even in the New Testament. I mean, there's some crazy false teachings out there. These things have been said from the beginning. Homosexuality is an abomination. I don't know how you can get any clearer than that, saying that it's wrong. It says in kidnappers, in liars. There's even laws against that within our own culture. And it's from Yahweh's law. And perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching or sound doctrine. According to the glorious evangel of the blessed Elohim with which I have been entrusted. So this is promoted. Yahweh's law is promoted. You can go through 1 Timothy on your own. You can see sound doctrine. In verse 22 of chapter 5, towards the end there, it says, keep yourself free from sin. And we know that sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law. 1 John 3:4. And even speaking of elders who sin, in 1 Timothy 5:20, do we have any leaders that are sinning? Get them out. Do we have a brother that's causing division and then turns around and says, oh, but Yahweh's blessing be upon you? That's hypocrisy. Get that individual out. Because I even heard a minister the other day was saying, if a bad apple gets into a bunch of good apples, it can ruin all of the apples. I think this is even elaborated on in Scripture. But in verse 20 of chapter 5, those, speaking of the elders as it's in context, who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest will be fearful of sinning, so that they'll turn away from it. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Let's get into some of these scriptures where we're actually going to refer to the law, but not directly. By doing these things, you will be keeping the law, is what I'm saying. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. For if these qualities of the Spirit, of truth, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Just what we were saying, Yahshua came to forgive us of our sins. It doesn't mean we go on breaking the law. It just doesn't make sense. And yet there are those out there that say, oh, you can keep the first day of the week holy, even though the seventh day is what we're told to keep holy. And other things. But what is this talking about? What are these qualities? Well, this I have highlighted and encircled. I have it highlighted in yellow and circled in blue. So it really stands out. In verse 5, starting in 2 Peter, it says, now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, righteousness, and in your righteousness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. It's adding one on top of another. It's like if you go out to build a wall, maybe you're making it out of bricks, you put one brick at a time, and the wall doesn't come up all of a sudden. When we're immersed into Yahshua's name, when we receive that Spirit, it starts helping us. In fact, it starts helping us before we even receive it. In fact, Doesn't Acts 5:32 tell us we're to be obedient before we even receive the Spirit? So these things are all orderly, and Yahweh, just like He doesn't change, He is not an author of confusion. What we find as confusion is those promoting false doctrines, the teachings that are contrary to Scripture. That's confusion, and it causes problems. And I think that's why Paul instructed Tim, set these men straight. Make sure that they don't infiltrate and get into the rest of the body, because it causes problems. It's like that bad apple that goes in with the good, and it can cause a process there. I think the best way to describe it may be that the leaven leavens the whole lump, the whole loaf of the lump. And so we have this this teaching, this understanding. But if you're adding these things into your life, then you're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be useless. But it goes on, verse 9, says that whoever lacks these qualities or is not, you know, growing in these things is short-sighted and has forgotten the whole reason he came out of sin, because he's evidently been going back into sin. It's like a dog that goes back to its vomit, which is also spoken of in Scripture. Let's go over to Galatians 5. We do have the fruits of the Spirit mentioned. And I just want to go back here to 2 Peter and pull my... I guess I didn't put a mark there. Good. I've got a bunch of papers within the Scriptures here marking the pages. I didn't actually write them down, so we'll just go through some of these. But Galatians 5 and verse 19. What is sin? I mean, what kind of attributes could you look upon as being sinful? Anything contrary to the law, really. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And so we've got a problem here. Christianity, I think in general, has gone too far. They've pulled away from Yahweh's law, and yet they're trying to walk in the Spirit. You can't pull away from Yahweh's law and walk in the Spirit. When you pull away from Yahweh's law, you're actually pulling away from Yahweh. You're actually going backwards and not forwards. And we'll see this again and again throughout Scripture. But what I'd like to do now, and you can just... You know, you don't have to turn to all these. Just listen. Take it in. Let it sink in. And see if this isn't within the bounds, within the realm of Yahweh's law. In Romans 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devout to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Master, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone, with all men. Going down to verse 20, I notice, and I've got this circled as well, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Is this something new? This is not something new. This is a quote from the Old Testament, 2 Kings 6 and 22, also Proverbs 25, 21. You could look there. Is this within the law of Yahweh? Is it walking in His Spirit to do these things? you want, we can turn over to Ephesians 3, and starting in verse 16. Again, just let these things sink in and ask yourself, is this within Yahweh's law? Be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Messiah which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of Yahweh. And Ephesians 4 and verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of Him who is the head, even Messiah. And we know the Messiah never, ever turned away from His Father. He never disobeyed Him. He was not a son of disobedience. He was a son of obedience. And He was blessed. And we will be blessed as well if we follow in that same spirit. Verse 16 of Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. And verse 25 starts here saying, therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Again, this is quoting from the Old Testament. Verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let your sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those that hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. You know, I'm reminded of Paul, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, keep the feast, but without malice, without wickedness. It's not just the one without the other, it's both. And we know this. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. This is why Paul himself put one individual out of the assembly to be turned over to Satan, because he was sinning within the assembly. And he was pretty well outraged, I think, with some of the other members because they were putting up with it. And he said, don't. So we're given instruction. It says in verse 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In verse 8, towards the end there, it says, walk as children of light. And we know that Yahweh is an unapproachable light, that we are going through the Messiah, who is the light within that light. I do believe we find that to be true. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Just turn on the news, open up the paper, turn on the radio, listen to what's going on. It's terrible. And Yahweh works in such a way that he'll allow certain things to happen for a while until the fullness of that evilness and that wickedness comes to a point where he won't take it anymore. There's enough lessons that have been learned, and he'll destroy those that are going that route. And he's being merciful. He's being merciful to those that will walk in his truth and walk in his spirit. He's being merciful to them. He's taking the bad apples and throwing them away. Ultimately, that's what he's going to do. And it's for the good of the rest of those that are willing and able in his spirit to do what's right in his sight. Verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of Yahweh, our Master, is. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Master, to Yahweh. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Master Yahshua the Messiah to Yahweh, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Messiah. I think it could be said even in the fear of losing the Messiah. What happens if we lose the Spirit? It's death. For those that have received the Spirit, if you lose that Spirit, if you quench that Spirit, that's a terrible thing. Over in Philippians, in chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul here is saying, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, in Yahweh's spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Messiah Yahshua. Deacon Gary and I were talking earlier this morning, and he's currently working at a location where they're basically non-believers. And he expressed the idea that their attitude is really terrible. Well, yeah, it's a worldly attitude. It's a spirit of error. It's an attitude of that spirit in the world that's working in those sons of disobedience. It's not the spirit we want. It's not the attitude we want. I think we find that good attitude is in line with the good spirit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known to Yahweh. Verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Practice these things, and Yahweh, the Elohim of peace, will be with you. If we're thinking upon good things, if we have a right attitude, we're thinking on lovely things and things that are good and excellence and that are worthy of praise. That's, again, being in Yahweh's Spirit. Yahweh's Spirit is just that, good, worthy to be, it's things worthy of praise. It's these type of things. It's true. It's right. It's pure. That's Yahweh's Spirit. When we look at the New Testament, we're looking at Yahweh's Spirit at work. We're looking at what we're told that the workings of that Spirit is like. We find and there's blessings for it, just like there are curses for doing otherwise. you know, the blessings are laid out in the Beatitudes, even in Matthew. If you go back there, Matthew 5, starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, those that are humble. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Yahweh. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on. You know, the opposite of these things would be like the seven things that Yahweh hates, mentioned in Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Things like strife, anger, resentment, arrogance, pride, those type of things are not in line with Yahweh's spirit. We need to understand that if we're not in line with Yahweh's spirit will depart from us. And if it departs from us, woe unto that man. We need to make sure that we are in Yahweh's spirit, that we are walking in that truth. Yahweh's spirit is truth. Just as his word is truth. You know, there are parallels here to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Fruits of the Spirit. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Starting there about halfway. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So much in the world is opposite of this. And we really, you know, Scripture talks about bad company corrupts good character. Well, if you're watching bad things on TV or listening to bad things on the radio or listening or reading bad things, things contrary to Yahweh's way of life and instructions, his way of doing things, then that's stuff we need to stay away from because it can corrupt. It's just like having an individual full of hypocrisy within among the brethren. The brethren might see that and go, oh, well, that must be okay because no one's stopping them, you know. So we need to be careful and make sure that even elders that step out of line, you start teaching false doctrine, they need to be put out. They either need to repent and change or be put out. And if they repent and are, you know, regretful and they express that as they should, then, you know, things can be changed and they can be brought back in. Yahweh is not unforgiving. That is part of his character. And so that should be part of our character as well. And it's something that we need to have. Colossians 3, verse 16 here, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as Master forgave you, so also you should. That is as long as the other individual is willing to, you know, if they're sinning, make sure that they stop sinning. That's what the law is for. The law is for those that break the law. It's to show them. The Spirit is to help us to keep in that law, to stay within the bounds of that law, to walk the straight and narrow path that law lights up for us. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah richly dwell within you, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to Yahweh. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Master Yahshua, giving thanks through him to Yahweh the Father. whatever we do should be with the thought of, is this something Messiah would do? Is this in the law of which he didn't break? Is this proper and right? Is it orderly? Is it true? Or is it confusion? Is it contrary to Yahweh? Is it the way of the world? Colossians 4 and verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So if we're always thinking about how Messiah would act in a certain situation, I think we'll be having the kind of attitude and right mindset. And if we're, especially if we're looking into the Word and reminding ourselves of what the Word says, that Spirit will help us and guide us and bring to remembrance these things. We don't have to have tassels on the outside of our garments to remind us. That Spirit is there for that purpose. That's what we're told. And if we wear tassels, then let's put them on the inside, and let's not put them out for everyone to see, because that's exactly what the Pharisees did. And I think they actually put on the four corners of their inner garment and ran them so long that came out the end of their robes. It's ridiculous. And Yahshua thought it was ridiculous. And Yahshua called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. And without the Spirit. So guess what? We have to do better than them. We're told to do better than them. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13. It says, live in peace with one another. You know, we did look at a scripture that, you know, that talked about eventually being in unity. I think that is coming. I think we will all be in unity. I think those of us here are in unity, without question. I think the body overall has some difficulties. I think there are some problem areas, some doctrines that are not quite right. And even among us, there may be some teachings here we need to correct. Well, hopefully, I trust with some time and with Yahweh's help and through His Spirit, through His Word, and our continuing to study it, we'll be shown these things, as will all of the body, so that we can come in unity and worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth, because that's what He wants. But I think because of certain individuals bringing up certain ideas, it corrupts and spreads like leaven, and some grab a hold of it, some reject it. And Paul himself said, you know, there must be, I believe there has to be factions among you to show who is approved. How do we show who is approved? Isn't it by how we walk and talk and act? And if we're not acting in accordance with this word, if we're keeping the holy days a month difference compared to when Yahweh tells us to keep the days, isn't there a problem there? I think there is. But I think that Yahweh will eventually correct these things for us. It'll be His doing. But we need to do our part, and as the Spirit has been given to us, and the gifts have been given to us to build one another up, we need to do what we can to help, to work with one another. But we also have to, like Paul told Timothy and Titus, maintain the sound doctrine. Don't let these men of error come in and spread their teachings around, is basically what he's saying. Because it causes confusion, and Yahweh is not the author of that. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, towards the end of verse 13, it says, live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So there's still an attitude here that we have to have. We can't just slap people around, though sometimes we may think that might be the best way. But that's, you know, that's some of that old human nature, and we really need to overcome that. And it's a process. I know that over the time that I've been in within the body, that I've grown, that I've matured, and sure didn't happen overnight. And I still have lots to learn and much to know and to grow. And I need to continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of Yahshua, the Word, and this truth, because without it, we're lost. And so we need to keep growing. We need to keep overcoming. We need to keep persevering. And it's those that overcome to the end that will be saved, is basically what it says. In verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is Yahweh's will for you in Messiah Yahshua. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So even though we might get hit with some strange ideas, maybe we better make sure that we take a look at those, make sure that it's either in line or whatever with Scripture, I should say, whatever. If it's in line with Scripture, we can accept it. If it's not in line with Scripture, then we can't accept it. And so there's always going to be some different understandings to a certain extent. But the overall fundamentals should be there, and eventually, I do think that Yahweh's Spirit will strengthen us and to help us to understand His Word fully, so that we can come up in the fullness, the full measure of Yahshua. And of course, He did everything perfectly, so He's a perfect example for us. But in verse 22, it says, abstain from every form of evil, and we're not even to have the appearance of evil. So, we need to put away certain things. If drinking alcohol in front of a brother is going to offend that brother, don't do it. Even at the feast site that we go to, now Yahweh says, go ahead and have some strong drink if you like, whatever your heart desires. Now, there's nothing wrong with strong drink, but if you get drunk with that strong drink, then you've got a problem. Just like there's probably no problem with having cards, but if you're going to go out and gamble your life savings away with those cards, then again, you've got a problem. So there's balance, and there we need to be able to discern. And the way we're able to discern is by looking into the Yahweh's Word and examining what we do. And by practice, by continued effort and overcoming, we can grow and we can discern and we can know Yahweh's will for us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Here Peter's summing up some thoughts. He says, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you're called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So there's certain things that we have to do. Jude, verse 20 of chapter 1. Again, the idea of building one another up. Not seeking our own personal will, though we have to make a living, we have to eat, we have to do certain things. We also need to look out for our family and look out for others as well, helping and setting a good example. And by doing so, we serve Yahweh. It says, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of Yahweh, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Master Yahshua the Messiah to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So we hate the sin, love the sinner, especially if they stop sinning. For those that walk away and continue in a worldly lifestyle, what hope is there for that individual? I just I'm not even sure if we're supposed to pray for such an individual. There is some indication that for such one, we're not even supposed to pray. But we have to hold out hope that those that have turned away for whatever reason might turn back and be helped by Yahweh, that we might be there to also help them in whatever capacity that we're able to do. But certainly, being somewhat limited, we can only do what Yahweh allows us to do. Now, in all of this, I do think these are highlights of the new covenant. They are the way we are to be. And I do think Christianity has taken this and has run with it to the extent that they have lost track that you can't love someone and murder them. You can't love someone and lie to them. You can't love someone and be deceitful. You have to love and be obedient to Yahweh's law. You can't have it both ways. You can't just love and not be obedient to Yahweh's law. It doesn't make sense. Yahweh's own word says, concerning Yahweh, if you love him, you'll be keeping his commandments. Just can't get around it. Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23. What does Yahshua tell the Pharisees and the scribes? Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. They have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. Why is that so important? Back up to Matthew 5 and verse 20, which says, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not inherit, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Won't even enter. How important is it to be obedient to Yahweh's word and to have the higher calling of the magnification of the law, the spiritual intent of that law working within your life? If you have Yahweh's spirit and are submitting to it, it will produce lawfulness. It's not going to produce lawlessness. I think in general, what we've looked at today, and I've broken it down into seven different points here, but one, the laws of Yahweh are to be kept in the spirit given to us in the new covenant today. And number two, the spirit of Yahweh in Yahshua the Messiah and us, or in Yahshua the Messiah and in us, helps us to be righteous. Of course, you remember John 17 where Yahshua's prayer to the Father was that we'd be one with them, just as Yahshua was one with the Father. How is that accomplished? It is accomplished by the Spirit. And that Spirit does not contradict Yahweh's word. Number three, growing in the attributes of the Spirit keep us walking towards Yahweh. Number four, doing any works of the flesh or law-breaking, same thing, is the same as taking steps away from Yahweh. Number five, allowing the Spirit to flow through us to others prevents it from being quenched. Stopping the flow, number six, stopping the flow of Yahweh's Spirit is cause for Yahweh's Spirit to leave us. To quench that Spirit, to turn away from Yahweh, to start doing the works of the flesh, to be worldly, to go back into Egypt, to go back into Babylon. Spirit's not going to follow you. You're supposed to be following the Spirit. Number seven, resisting the laws of Yahweh and therefore his Spirit will ultimately cause spiritual death. And this is what we want to prevent. We have Yahweh's Spirit. It's within us. We need to listen to that small, still voice, follow the promptings, make sure that we're studying, make sure that we're loving Yahweh properly and loving our neighbor as ourselves. by loving our neighbors as ourselves, we're not going to be breaking the law. It just doesn't work that way. So we need to make sure that we're in Yahweh's Spirit, that we do not, that we don't lose Yahweh's Spirit, that we're continually building upon those things that we've been given, and have those fruits of the Spirit abounding in our life. And this is what Christianity expounds upon and tells us to do, but they're neglecting the law, and you can't have it both ways. The law is going to be in line with that Spirit, just as the Spirit's going to be in line with Yahweh's law, Yahweh's instructions, Yahweh's way of life. It's not going to be contradictory. Yahweh is not going to be telling you one thing and then having you do something else. It just is not going to be that way. And so we need to understand what Yahweh would have of us and to love Him as He's loved us. May Yahweh bless.